Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you are listening to Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Live on, yeah, we are
Real Baby Media.
We look to enrich, encourage, and engage our youth here on iHeartRadio.
And it's presented like a jewel.
We interview individuals such as Susan L. Taylor.
What we know is that failing schools are the pipeline to prison.
Jasari X.
We're the changers, and I feel like this generation is a generation that's really going to make change.
Dr. Julia Hare.
Best part about Action Plan, reclaim the minds of our children.
Dick Gregory.
Our problem is we think we're part of this government, you know.
This is Young Men Perspective Radio.
Live on Iliad, we are Real Baby Media.
Tune in to WWRN 1100 AM on Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. and every Friday from 10 to 11 p.m. on WWE 1100 AM on iHeartRadio.
Just gotta get in tune with your purpose.
YMP.
You know me.
Your calling number is
404-603-8770.
No.
Your host, Jeff.
We here now
with your co-host, Digger Dame Lee.
Young Men's Perspective Radio.
Young Men's Perspective Radio.
YMP.
Welcome to the future, baby.
Right about now, you're tuned into
Young Men Perspective Radio.
I be the Law Finesse, a.k.a. the Underboss, D-I-T-C.
On 1100atlanta.com.
So keep it tuned right here.
We here now.
We here now.
Good afternoon, and good evening. We are pre-recording tonight, so I want to say welcome to another edition of Young Men's Perspective Radio. I am your host, Jeff Hodges. And I'm glad to be in the building once again to bring to you, as we always, great content. Tonight is going to be really a great segment as we get it in with our very special guest, Dr. Steve Perry, the founder and principal of one of the most successful schools in the country, Capital Purgatory Magna School, also being an award-winning educator, education reformer, and we look forward to definitely getting it in with the great doctor as soon as we get that call. In the meantime, you guys make sure you follow us on Instagram, YMPM1, the number one. Also on Twitter, YMP Magazine. And like our pages, Young Men's Perspective Magazine and also Young Men's Perspective Radio on Facebook. We love to have you come on and definitely follow all the great content and people that we bring on board, the great guests and all, so that you can stay tuned. Also visit our website at www.ympmedia.com, and also you'll learn all about the great things there. We just launched our sixth edition of Young Men's Perspective Magazine, so we're real excited about that. You can visit the page and grab yourself a copy, whether it be digital or hard copy. And we'd love for you to come back with that visual, holding that copy and letting us know what you think. Shout out to Dr. Mitch. Got his copy and let us know we hit the mark, so we're real excited about that. It's definitely been a great week, and we are excited about the month of July as we continue to keep in motion, and we're looking forward to some of the great guests that's coming on later on this month, and then you guys are being a part of the show. So hey, we're so glad to continually bring Young Men's Perspective Radio to you guys with all the great guests. So right now, we are looking forward to getting it in. I believe my guest is on the phone now. Good afternoon.
Peace and blessings. Peace, King.
Oh, that's my co-host. What it do?
Yo, live on Iliad, it's your man, Digger Dame Lee, a.k.a. Poppy Ratsy. You know, the guy with the bionic guy.
All right.
What it do, Cuzzo?
What's good? What's good?
Man, I wish I was there at the moment, but you know, so many things are growing for us with YMP Radio, live on Iliad, Real Fake Media. I'm just taking an opportunity to allow the fruit to do what it's doing, man. So thank you for having enough strength and energy to hold our guests down today, man.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. You know, we appreciate the technology that keeps us in afloat, and we stay in motion, not letting no hindrance and anything get in the way. So, yeah, definitely,
fact.
So talk about it, man. What you been up to?
Oh, man, did the family get in yet?
Not just yet, not just yet.
Okay, so this is what we have going on, man. I just want, one, I should be going live. As a matter of fact, I should be going live. But this is our moment. So check it out. I met a gentleman online by the name of Von Gage. He's from the Portland, California area. And he's into hip-hop and things of this nature. And he's had a very unique journey with himself. So we had a chance to bump heads. And it was a rocky start, actually, in the beginning. Because he was a little standoffish after allowing himself to introduce himself and things of that nature. It was like, what do you want from me type of thing is what he was really kind of vibrating off of. Not knowing that we at Young Men's Perspective Magazine, Radio, Media.com, and Enterprises. You dig? Live or Illy Ab, Real Fake Media, the international household name. He didn't know that we give gifts of is, right?
Right, right.
And so it didn't come into awareness until the moment we interview Uncle St. Dick Gregory, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he sent back another text acknowledging that, scratch all the previous possible distortions, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he then informed me he was working on an album called The Gift Rap Giraffe, and I began to check it out, watching his movement, his campaign, and he's just been trying to heal himself, you know what I mean? He was a drug addict at one point for like 12 years, and he's only like now 30, maybe 30-something, so for half of his life, he was like blitzed out, you know what I mean? So to watch him get healthy and to value what he's witnessed, being a part of our establishment, what we're doing with our world community, it's just honorable. So he sent one of his homegirls through, a friend of his, a yoga instructor by the name of Ren DeVu. And she's multi-talented, to say the least. But we had a chance to communicate, and we just finished shooting a promo video as well as recording a demo version, if you will, of a song that we came up with, you know what I mean, and myself on a production. So that's really what's been going on, and that's why I'm not at the studio with you at this right now second, is just because I've been burning a wick at every end, and we're being just most productive, man. You know, she had the most enjoyable time. She was most respected and respectable. And we just got some good work done just by saying hello, you know what I mean? So this is what we're trying to offer to people. You know what I mean? You hear me personally say over and over, like, yo, get activated with us. Like, we're not playing over here. And now that we have tools, thanks to a few of our sponsors, and one in particular I would like to just give a salute and highlight to is our family mate,
check it out,
Afterglow.
Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. We're going to give all them shouts out. Right now on the line, we got our very special guest as we...
What? He's there?
We about to introduce him. Hold tight.
Let's go.
Right now on the lines, we got our very special guest, Dr. Steve Perry. Welcome to the show, sir.
What's going on, Blood?
All right.
Peace. How you doing, Doc?
Nah.
Fantastic, man. I got to wake up and work with our community today, so
that's a
you know I have
thing.
The joy
yes,
of
sir.
Life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well,
yes,
you sound like an honest man. You sound like an honest man.
Yeah. Dr. Perry, we really glad to have you here with us on YMP Radio. It's definitely an honor and pleasure to add you to our caches of predominantly powerful black people in our community doing great work, and we're excited to sit down with you, man. We're really excited.
But one of the challenges that we have as a community is to uplift one another.
Right.
And the fact that you've devoted some part of your day making sure that you identify brothers and sisters in our community who are doing what we need to do despite all odds. I mean,
yes, sir.
The reason why the black community is in the situation it's in, and it is in a tough situation,
indeed,
is not by accident.
Fact.
It has been a design set of circumstances, starting with our schools,
mm-hmm.
where we were forced to live, all the way up through health care, and then our frenemies. You know,
right, right.
These are the people who present themselves as having our back. But when you look, you think, wow, that doesn't really feel like you have my back. That feels like you're putting something in my back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to check you out being a host for the TV One Saving Our Sons. And I got to tell you, that show has had such an impact. What happened to it?
Well, there you go. TV One decided to go in a different direction. They decided to go with one of the Real Housewives sort of shows.
So you mean to tell me something that's working?
Hold on.
Something that's working.
I know what you're about to say, Cuzzo. Let me do this part.
Get to it.
Are you here to inform me, a professional father, a single father, you want me to comprehend that VH1, a visual powerhouse, chose to remove you showing how to save the babies and all of that in order to put an Atlanta housewife, destructive behavior, very vulgar, distorted adults impersonating things of ridiculousness? You telling me that that was the trade-off?
So TV One had two shows at the time. They had Us,
uh-huh.
and they had the R&B Divas. And TV One decided that the show that we had, which, if I'm going to be really honest with you, while I was there doing the filming,
mm-hmm.
and I knew how the show was going to end, I was still moved by it when I watched it.
Right.
Meaning, I was still impacted. And TV One decided that that just wasn't the direction that they wanted to go. They said that the ratings weren't there, but Seinfeld didn't have ratings when it started. And I'll be really real with you. To this day, I can be in an airport and heads will come up to me and they'll say, man, when is that show Saving My Son coming back? Like when? What happened? And nobody, I don't want to say nobody, but people struggle to accept. When I tell them, nah, they just canceled it. Like, just bye. Bye, Felicia. Just dropped it.
We got to get that show back on the air.
And I'm going to tell you, no. We ain't got to get it back on their air.
We breathe our own air.
We know how to shoot, edit, and come on, man. Like, we can do this. We don't need to ask nobody. All we got to do is just go to another platform. Yo, are we able to utilize your intelligence in that fashion, King?
No doubt.
Respect.
Yeah. So let's talk about that book. You being an author, such great work. Push has come to shove, getting our kids the education they deserve, even if it means picking a fight. Tell us all about it.
What it means is that we have been bamboozled. The black community has been led to believe that our salvation comes through what we refer to as the public schools. But those schools were designed by the same people who designed the justice system. And both of them have served to effectively demonize black men, destroy the futures of black men and women, and ultimately stunt the growth of the black community. So push has come to shove, getting our kids the education they deserve, even if it means picking a fight, means that I remain willing to stand in the face of teachers' unions, the NAACP, and anybody else who is looking to maintain America's apartheid. And that is to tell black people in particular that it is their obligation to go to a school that not one person who works there with options would ever send their own children to. I'm willing to stand in the face of anybody who claims that the best place for our children is in a failed school of any type, that they're dead wrong and that they're working against our community. And I don't care what their name is. I don't care what their organization's history is. Facts are the facts.
Indeed. Now you open up your third school? Is that the one that you partnered up with Puffy? Or is that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's going really well.
That's going really well. That's real exciting to hear. Yeah.
Awesome. So the school that you opened, these are charter schools, correct?
So the first one I opened is a magnet school, and that's that's under the banner of Hartford Public Schools. I have since left that school because people who look like us didn't want to see our children succeed, so they wanted to limit the growth of the school. We had 2,700 kids on the waiting list. You know, we have these conversations about getting our kids the education they deserve, even if it means picking a fight. With all due respect, everybody's got to recognize, I wish it was so simple as to just be talking about Southern white racists. I'm talking about Northeastern black and Latino people who, you know, you look at them, they listen, you know, they could quote Big, they could quote Pac, they could talk about they eat the same foods you eat, grew up in the same communities that you grew up in. All that's true. That is all true. But they're not interested in the salvation of our community. They're interested in the maintenance of the little junky job that they have, little fake position that they occupy, some whack elected opportunity that they've been positioned to occupy. You know, you've seen Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
They're Steven.
Yes.
They're Steven. That's exactly who they are. And these people who will come, I mean, and again, they present themselves phenotypically, they're quote-unquote brothers and sisters. Like, you look at them and you think, okay, they look like our people. And then you hear them talk and they talk like our people. But anybody of any color who positions themselves in the doorway out of our demise and into our future, anybody who does that is an enemy to state.
Facts.
The school-to-prison pipeline, your thoughts, and how can we reduce the recidivism that's taking place in our, and that's affecting our community?
If the first free our children from failed schools. It really is that simple. 75% of young people who are incarcerated are what are referred to as functionally illiterate.
Right.
So functionally illiterate means that they could not take a Dr. Seuss book and read it. Now, could they read some of the words? Of course they could. I mean, simple, you know, single syllable words. But if you were to ask them to take a newspaper or a Yahoo article, or they could not read that article and tell you key details. They could read a pizza box, you know, that it says pizza and the name of the pizza, but they would not likely be able to read a prescription and tell you what they were supposed to, what the dosages were. That's functionally illiterate. They weren't born incapable of reading, because, I mean, it's reading, for God's sake. We've been reading since, I mean, we invented language, so why wouldn't we know how to read?
Right.
It's really bizarre to think that now we don't know how to do it. It's just that our children have not been taught in schools where they can learn to read, write, and compete. We say, well, how do you know that's so? Well, according to the ACT, which is the most taken assessment, pre-collegiate test, less than 10% of African Americans will graduate from high school ready to go to a four-year college. So they just weren't taught. We just weren't taught. And so if you want to cut down this, conversely, if a person makes it through and high school and on to college, you're talking in terms of being incarcerated, you're talking about incarceration rates of people with a bachelor's degree of less than 3%. There's a 97% chance you will never go to prison if you graduate from college.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to stop the recidivism rate is to stop the school to prison pipeline in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you have to free children from failed schools. That means you have to give them school choice. You have to allow parents to have my child, my choice, which is they get to go to whatever school is best for them, just like wealthy people do.
So let me ask you this. How do you feel about homeschooling? Because I, as a single father, I homeschool my son, and the way that I teach him and have taught him, he has a very unique lens that he's looking through. you know what I mean? Because I don't have a desire to really cheat him. I have a philosophy about the interaction of us as melanated people and just the concept of people in general, right? And the way that I aim to show him is, one, how to learn, how to learn. That's part of the philosophy that I exchange with him. And Jeff, he can attest to this as far as the strategy that I'm presenting my son with. And I would love to have a one-on-one with you, or even amongst the family, we can do this again on our other platforms and really like reason with you, because my interest and my investment and my son, like, I truly saved my son's life, like, as well as he saved mine, because 2008, my first son passed away, and it shook everything about how I knew life. So as I rebuilt myself going into this next chapter of my fatherhood, I was forced into a custody battle. And through that, I regained my sovereignty and I learned how to communicate accordingly. So I want to really chop it up with you about some things as it pertains to the advocacy that you're dealing with. You know what I mean? Like, because I just applaud you, my dude. I'm over here. I wish we were in the same space, man. You know what I mean? Like, right now, because this is most important for the planet. You know what I mean? Like, this topic, this is too short of amount of time.
Well, get to your question. We're going to take a break. What's your question?
It's not really a question, more so now that I'm reasoning it out. I just wanted to know, are we able to get in the same space where we can elaborate more about what you're doing? Because I think that myself and Jeff, we have a platform or two where our voices make sense.
I can say this. First of all, I'm humbled by the request. I'm also aware that I have to stay focused in the spaces where I am currently, so it's okay. Not to drift, because I meet so many really powerful brothers like yourself, and I have to remain disciplined, because it's all too easy for me to say, you know what, yeah, that would be dope, I'm going to do this in Georgia. All right, that would be dope, I'm going to do this in Wisconsin. Okay, this brother down here that I met in Boca Raton, who's out there grinding in the streets, doing what he's got to do, I'm going to help him. And then as I sit here, I'm wearing a Trayvon Martin T-shirt. I'm saying that only because, when his mother and father asked me to do some work with them, I just jumped up there as well, not always being the disciplined person that my responsibilities require me to be, which is to say, but, dude, you just opened another school, and you are opening a school as we speak, literally as we speak. I'm on my way to that school to go check on the building. It would be all too easy for me to be impacted by a brother like you and say, yeah, of course I can, knowing that that's not responsible. So what I can say is this, just know that as you build, I build, and we're building together. And when the opportunities present themselves, as they are right now, we would do so in such a way. And I'm hopeful that my little contribution will be helpful to you. And I know your contribution to me is helpful.
Great.
Reverend.
All right.
Reverend.
So let me ask you, you kind of segued into where I was at with that Puffy little situation. As I read about it, I found it interesting, you know, you being, you know, the principal of education in our country, more or less. And when he approached you, as I read it, you know, it seemed as though you kind of shunned him when he wanted to open a school. I wanted to get your thoughts, being, like I said, having the position, working with our kids, teaching them to seek and, you know, reach their best potential, and sometimes our goals can exceed, you know, just our mere existence. For someone to come at you with such a great gander of an idea, and you to say to them, well, how about you try, you know, like a scholarship program? So I wanted to kind of get, you know, your idea.
So honestly, you know, and I appreciate you seeing it the way it is. I, when Puff presented the idea to me, I said, you know, good luck. Like, that's not, and I want to make sure I make this clear. I'm not trying to present as some pager or somebody who sweat me. It wasn't even like that. It was just like, we're just having a conversation right now. Same way.
Right.
Nothing but like, thanks God. Like, you know, you that guy. Thank you. I really appreciate what you do. I said to him and wish you well. Like, but I, at that time, as I'm saying now, I had to be disciplined in what I was doing. And if I'm being especially transparent and vulnerable, I gotta say, I also didn't see it for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up and I was like, I have a school already, was the way I saw it. I have one school, and I'm running this one school. And here we up here sending 100% of our grads on to four-year colleges and, you know, winning state championships in football and basketball and cross-country and even in forensics, you know, like we're doing the thing. And then, you know, I'm sitting there looking at it and thinking how I could be better at the one school that I was at. That was my honest plan, if you really want to know, was to run one school in Hartford, Connecticut. I had no intention to get on television. If you really, really want to know, y'all lauded the show Save My Son.
Right.
The truth is, those sisters reached out to me for almost 2 years.
Okay.
I was, and every time they would come through, Brother Yusuf, the brother I worked with, and he'd say, man, why don't you just talk to these sisters? Man, I'm really not trying. I'm not interested in doing television. Like, I just want to run the school. I don't want to be disrespectful, you understand, but really just want to do. I feel so blessed, and I feel like, I don't feel. I know that everybody's time on this earth is so limited, right? Somebody had plans for this afternoon that they're not going to see. Mm-hmm. Somebody's making plans for them right now. And so I just feel so blessed to do what I do that I missed the opportunity when he came to me. I just said, all right, cool, you know, like, that's dope. And then he would occasionally reach out and he'd say, yo, man, what's up with my school? And I'd say, well, you know, I did what everybody does when I'm stalling. Well, you know, I'm working on this thing and, you know, and he was, I wish, and I've said this to him a thousand times, I wish y'all knew who I knew. Because I don't, the cat that I know, I'm on the phone with him at midnight. We going over, he wants the names of every child, he wants a bio for every child that's in the school. Like, he wants to know who they are, like what makes them tick.
Right.
While everybody else is thinking about him dropping the new record or whatever, he and I have never had a conversation about that stuff. We just don't. I was at his house when he was doing the last train to Paris. He's got all these producers. Everybody, I mean, the whole place was just, it was like beats on top of beats on top of beats on top of beats. Producers in every room, literally. Like, producers in every room. And he's sitting at the dining room table with me. Well, I'm sitting at his dining room table, and his kids are there. And he's like, can you tell them how important education is? And can you talk about, he's just in dad mode. Like, right. That's all we're talking about. Two black fathers sitting at the dining room table, true story, two black fathers sitting at the dining room table talking about how we could send our kids to school. True story. I mean, I saw him about 2 months ago, and we were at a fundraiser. And there I'm sitting there talking to his son, one of his sons.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking about his son going to Harvard to get his master's in business.
Wow.
But that's the conversation that we're having. So I was more focused on keeping my head down and staying disciplined in what I needed to do. And then he straight up, he put it real simple. Really simply, he said, just imagine how many people that we could inspire. He said, when I saw you do what you do on CNN's Black in America,
mm-hmm.
he said, I had two reactions. He said, I could work. I could get out here, figure out how this guy does this and beat him. Or I could try and connect with this dude and try and work with him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I figured I would work with you. He said that so we, two black men, can come together to help out the black community through education. He said, imagine how many heads we could inspire. He said, we could put together a blueprint. People like Snoop and this is what he said, people like Snoop and Ye and others. And he said this publicly, so I'm not breaking any confidences.
Mm-hmm.
They could look up and say, yo, this is black excellence. This is what we can do. And I will tell you, a couple of us have come to me and said things like, man, why are you working with that dude? What does he know about education?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? So it's like that? Like, you're that much of an elitist? You think that your stuff is that nice?
Right.
You sell 500 million records then to kids.
Right.
you communicate with kids on that level. And then I'll listen to you. Because he clearly does a better job of communicating messages to children than I do. So I'm going to sit there and listen to what this brother got to say. I know how to make a school work, but he knows how to communicate to our kids. So somewhere between the two of us, we should be doing all right. And more importantly, if you really want to know, the success of our schools thus far, our secret weapon has often been cats who other people threw away.
Right.
Literally, football coaches who used, you know, who are ex-offenders, who are youth football coaches, who I can call, true story, I got a kid in my office, he acted a fool today, I done called his mother 4 or 5 times, she says she's not coming to get him, no matter how many times I call her, and she's already stopped answering the call. So then I called his coach, and I'm like, yo, coach such and such, guess who I have in the office? Now the kid's already like, why would you do that? Why would you call this dude? And this dude comes off his job. He's like, bet, I will be there in 10 minutes. Hold him right there. No problem, coach. That brother comes in. He says, can I talk to him for a second? No problem. I step out the office. I come back. Problem solved. I'm willing to work with whoever is willing to work to get our kids to where they need to be.
Exactly.
And so I had to look at myself and I had to see, wow, here is a brother who is coming with an open heart and sincerity, and he's only shown himself to be that. Why wouldn't you listen to what he's got to say? And so it had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with me. And to the final part of this, we worked on that school for 4 years. Puff went through his stuff during that time. He went through some challenges during that time. I would call him and I'd say, do you need me to go and tell people what you really do? Like, do you want me to let people know? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they think you're one way. They don't know what I know. Every single time he said, nah, I got it. Never once did he take the bait. You see some cats give away 2 turkeys during Thanksgiving. They got the local ABC affiliate out there.
Right.
This dude was building a school, putting his top executives in his company on it, giving office space in his company, committing to it. Never once did he mention it. He did not mention his involvement in the school, that it was his idea to start, until 1 week before the applications were due for the school. 1 week, 7 days.
Yeah, I heard you in the interview talk about, he's like, can I go now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that's really important about this story is not that it's Dr. Steve Perry and Sean P. Diddy Combs,
right,
but it's two black men,
mm-hmm,
coming together to say, you do what you do, I do what I do, but what if we work together to move our community forward? What if we did that? And that's a conversation I've had a hundred times. Not to interrupt,
but I just want to acknowledge that's how this opportunity of staging right now presented itself. This is what Fresh Jeff and I agreed on, quite like yourself and Puff. We just had a gentleman's dialogue, kept it 100, and was like, you bring your 100, I bring my 100, and we're going to do right because we want to save the lives that we can save, man. Some people are contaminated. Some people may have to be quarantined. You dig what I'm saying? That's just
fact. Yeah, I do.
But on a scale of what you're referencing and just the passion and your truth, first of all, me as a gentleman, I salute you. I love you already. I'm glad you're alive, brother. So I salute you. You know what I mean? Like, salute.
Well, it goes both ways. And let me say this, because I know we're coming to a close. But let me say this. It's imperative that the story that you just shared is shared 1 million more times. Because what most people don't take into consideration, especially in our community, when you used to not have it, you begin to become paranoid. And you feel like, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a large family. So you can either one of two things happen. You either learn to share or you learn to hoard. But you don't learn to do both.
Fat.
On that note, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. and we're going to be right back. You're listening to YMP Radio with our very special guest, Dr. Steve Perry. We'll be right back.
Yeah, straight out of Brooklyn, man. It's official, man. Young Men's Perspective Magazine kicks off YMP Radio with Real Fake Media. And it's the Invisible Man, and we live on Illy Ave. YMP Radio and Real Fake Media is in the building.
Word is born, you got 6 minutes on that jack, kid. This shit is real.
Hey, yo, check this way, man.
Come on, give me a cigarette, man.
Yo, here you go, here you go. Yo, check it out, man. Check out what I got here, man.
What is that? What's that?
Yo, it's a letter I got from my man, Nas, man. Yo. Word is born.
What up, kid? I know soldier is doing your bit. When the cops came, you should have slid to my crib. Make a flack, no time for looking back is done. Plus, congratulations, you know you got a son. I heard he looks like you. Why don't your lady write you? Told her she should visit, that's when she got hyper. Flipping, talking about he acts too rough. He didn't listen, he be ripping while I'm telling him stuff. I was like, yeah, shorty don't care. She a snake too. Off with the figures from that fake crew that hate you. But yo, guess who got shot in the dome piece? Jerome's niece. On our way home from Jones Beach's club. Plus little Rob was selling drugs on the dime. Hanging out with young thugs that all carry knives. And nighttime is more tripe than ever. Whatever point they did you see them or y'all together? If so, then hold a fort down. Represent to the fullest. Say what's up to Herb, Ice, and Bullet. I left for half a hundred in your commissary. You was a good number when push came to shove.
One what?
One love.
One love. One love. One love. One love.
I heard him frontin', and he be pumping on your block. Your man gave him your Glock, and now they run together. What up, son? Whatever. Since I'm on the streets, I'ma put it to a cease. But I heard you blew it, and we're getting an ox for the phone piece. Wildin' on the Allen, but now with Elmira, better chill, cause look at McGill, put that ass on fire. Last time you wrote, you said they tried you in the showers. But maintain when you come home, the corner's hours on the rail. All these crabs are getting through the deal. When we start the revolution, all they probably do is squeal. But chill, see you on the next. I gave your mom Duke's loop from kick plus into flips. Your brother's butt wildin' in Formain. He wrote me, he might be this case till he come home. I'm playing low key. So stay civilized, time flies. Though incarcerated, your mind dies. I hate it when your mom's robbed. It kinda makes me wanna murder. For realer, I even got a mask and gloves to bust slugs for one love.
One love.
Sack minds in another world, thinking how can we exist through the facts written in school textbooks, Bibles, etc. A school lecture, the lies get me vexed up. So I be ghost for my projects. I take my pen and pad for the weekend, hitting nails while I'm sleeping. A 2-day stay, you may say I needed time alone to relax my dome. No phone left and not at home. You see, the streets had me stressed, something terrible. But the corners have a up in Bellevue at HDM. Hit with numbers from 8 to 10. A future in a maximum state pen. It's grim, so I come back home. Nobody dealt with Shorty Doo-Wop. Rolling two Phillies together in the bridge, we call him Oo-Wop. He said, nah, look at Toby busting off the roof. So I wear a bulletproof, a pack of black Trey Deuce. He inhaled so deep, shut his eyes like he was sleep. Started coughing when I peeked to watch me speak. I sat back like the Mac, my army suit was black. We was chilling on these blitz where he pumped his loose crack. I took the L when he passed it. This little bitch has keeps me blasted and starts talking mad. I had to school him, told him don't forget to fool him. Cause when the pistol blows, the one that's murder be the cool one. Tough luck, just in the fuck families. Could have caught your man, but didn't look when you bucked up. Mistakes happen, so take heed. Never bust up at the crowd, cause control won't make the right man bleed. Shorty's laugh was cold blooded as he spoke so foul. Only 12 trying to tell me that he liked myself. Then I rose, wiping the blunt ass from my clothes and froze. Only to blow the earth smoke through my nose and told my little man I'm a ghost. I broke. Left some jewels in his soul that he could sell if he chose. Words of wisdom from now, try to rise up above. Keep an eye out for Jake. Shorty, wop one love.
One love, 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 one
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-989-0851. 800-989-0851. Call now. 800-989-0851. That's 800-989-0851.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, "Hey, try this"? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-287-7891. 800-287-7891. 800-287-7891. That's 800-287-7891.
Change your fate from the net, I'm a captain. Wrapped up the alien.